trust you today. Our confidence is in you. Our trust is in you. We're not going to be concerned about any bill. We're not going to be concerned with about any sickness, about any disease, about any lack, Lord. Father, we trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Our confidence is in you. It's not in ourselves, Lord. Our confidence is in you. Our trust is in you. You meet every need, Lord. You supply every need, Lord. We trust you. We trust you. You're not going to let us fail. You're not going to let us fall back. Lord, through you, we're more than conquerors. Through you, we've been made able. We've been made strong. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You will perfect that which concerns us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, when your trust is in me, that gives me liberty. That gives me liberty to perform all my will concerning you. So reach out with the hand of faith and grab a hold of the promises that belong to you. No, don't let yourself fall back into unbelief. Don't let yourself slip over into works, but rather rest in my care. Rest in my presence. Put all of your care over upon me, for it's in that place of trust where peace abides. It's in that place of trust where miracles will abound. Yes, put your trust over upon me, and you'll see I'll go over here and perfect that. Then I'll come over here and perfect that. Then I'll remove that, and you'll be able to walk in peace, and you'll be able to walk in prosperity, and you'll be able to walk over in my goodness and my grace. So just relax. Don't take yourself so seriously. Don't take that problem so seriously. Just relax and fall back in me, says the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see I will perfect all that concerns you, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I hear the Lord say, even when that pressure comes, just laugh. Just laugh, rejoice, and be glad, knowing that I'm perfecting all that concerns you. Yeah, roll it over on me. Roll it over on me and just fall back in peace. Just relax over in my mercy. Relax over in my care. And you'll see I'll perfect all of that. You don't have to be concerned about it. Oh, you don't have to be worried about it. Just fall back on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're resting in you, Lord. We're resting in you, Lord. We're resting in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rest, rest. Resting in Him. Resting in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we love you today. And we thank you so much that we don't have to be worried. We don't have to have a care in this world. We don't have to be concerned about anything. Father, our trust is in you. And you are well able. You are well able. You are well able to take care of everything. I mean everything, Lord. You are well able to take care of everything. Of everything that concerns us. So of whom shall we be afraid of? And of what shall we be afraid of? But Lord, through you, we are more than conquerors. Through you, old men receive strength. Through you, who are weak, wax valiant and strong. Oh, Father, we're well able. You've made us well able to walk in this life victoriously. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we just relax in you, Lord. We relax in you. And Father, we just make it our purpose to have fun and to enjoy the life that you've given us and to not be worried about all that junk that you're already promised us you're going to take care of. We love you, Lord, and we worship you, and we magnify you forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Lord, songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, tongues filled with laughter, mouths filled of singing, saying, what great things the Lord has wrought among us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we do that. We rest in you today. And we thank you, Lord, that even while we teach and while we minister and while we listen, that we just rest in you. We relax and we receive all that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are our sufficiency and you've made us well able to walk out this race and to finish our course. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit helps us today. He gives us liberty. And Father, we thank you that he helps us teach and preach and communicate. And he helps us also hear, listen, and obey so that we may be recipients of all that you promised and all that you provided. We love you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him the Lord is well able to perfect that which concerns you. Amen. Well able. Amen. You know, we ought to relax in him. Amen. We ought not take ourselves so seriously. I like that. I like what the Lord said. You know, it's so easy to be serious. Serious. It's serious. Church is serious. Well, this is serious, Brother Joel. This is a big case. We've got serious problems. No, friend. Compared to God? Oh, my. See, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of rest. Amen. There remains yet a rest for the people of God. And we've got to learn how to get over into that. Amen. And this is a big part of even what we're teaching about in this service, last service, and the week before that. Just getting over into the rest of God and learning how to live the life that he's given us. You know, when you got born again, you didn't just receive salvation. You received Zoe, the God kind of life. Remember what Jesus said in John 10 and 10? I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. This means that your life with Christ ought to be significantly different than your life before him. And friends, for so many Christians, to be honest with you, it's not. Just as they were struggling before Christ, they struggle with him. Just as when they were struggling with different types of sin even, or even types of depression or worry or anxiety or even things financially, they carry those things over. And friends, that was never God's will. His will through salvation is complete and utter deliverance and absolute liberty. Freedom financially, freedom from sickness and disease, freedom from poverty and lack, freedom from depression and fear, freedom from anxiety and worry. He came to set us free. Amen. And so with that, we ought not be bound by anything. And so part of the reason why we come to church and study the Bible is to find out how to walk in that liberty. And to find out how to walk in that freedom. We're not just after a good message or an encouraging word. No, we want to learn how to live the life God has for us. Amen. How to walk over in His liberty and get over into His plan. And so I think that what we're talking about today is going to help you. Go over to the book of James, James chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, our ushers there in the aisles now, they'll be more than glad, more than happy to give you a Bible if you would like one. If you don't have a Bible, you can take that one as your own. If you do have one and maybe for whatever reason you just didn't bring it, maybe you left it at the house, then you can give it back to our ushers at the end of service. James chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 6 this morning. This is our golden text. We preached along these lines last Sunday. We talked about coming to the Lord. We went over to Peter and saw where Peter said, "To whom coming?" Talking about your relationship with the Lord, my relationship with the Lord, that we are to be going to Christ, that He's to see us coming to Him. And we said that this is more than just a good thing to do. This is more than just prayer. This is an act of humility. And when we act out humility, the Bible teaches us that we get more grace. Well, anyway, after I preached that last Sunday, I was on my way home. And while I was driving, I just sensed in my heart that there's more to this than we're understanding. That this subject of humility, the subject of grace, is bigger than we currently have a revelation of. And the Lord's just instructed me to kind of just sit on this scripture until this revelation of grace gets built up in you. That you can have more grace. It's your choice whether or not you have more grace or not. You can have it. It's available. More grace is available. And so getting us to see that, to see why we want it, and then to pursue it through the road of humility. Our destination is grace. The road to grace is humility. And so we need to learn what humility is. We need to learn what grace is so that we can desire it and then walk in it. And so we see here in James chapter 4 and verse 6 exactly what we're talking about. But he being God, notice this, giveth more grace. Now, if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to do what I told them to do then. And that is to underline or put in parentheses this phrase, more grace. In fact, say that. Say more grace. But God gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God is resisting the proud. Look at that. God is resisting the proud, but giving grace unto the humble. So we see that you and I can walk in more grace. And the way to walk in that grace is to be humble. The humble get the grace. You could put it that way. If you're walking in humility, you're also going to be walking in grace. And the more you walk in humility, the more grace you will walk in. No matter how grace you are right now, you can have more grace. And so we asked this question last week, and I'll ask it again this week. What would your life look like if you had more grace? What would change about it? I was thinking about this even in my office, you know, because I preached this 2 times already. So I was thinking about this in my office. I got to thinking about it, just for me personally. What would my life look like if I was operating in more grace? Well, it'd be easier to preach. It'd be easier to minister. It'd be easier to grow a church. It'd be easier to pay off a church. It'd be easier to balance work and ministry. It'd be easier to balance ministry and family. It'd be easier to balance family and my relationship with God. And I'll be honest with you and say all of those things are pretty easy right now, but they can get easier. I can walk in more grace. Now, for your life, what would it look like if you were walking in more grace? Imagine if you're a businessman and you receive more grace in that business and your phone is ringing with less effort. Got more people calling, more people want your service, more people want your business. And it just seems like you're doing what you know to do, but it's just easier. I'm sure you've experienced times like that in business where it just seemed like things were clicking on all cylinders and the work was flowing in. And then I'm sure you've experienced the opposite, where it just seemed like you were kicking at it, you were pushing at it, you were working at it, but it just seemed like results weren't happening at all. Well, friends, grace is the quality of life that makes things easy. And to understand grace, there's another word here that you have to understand. Notice that there are already in this scripture two words that are the exact opposite of each other, polar opposites. And those words are humility and pride. Humility is the exact opposite of pride. Well, what does that mean? That means if you can understand humility, you can also understand pride a little bit better. And if you understand pride, you've got a good concept of humility because they're the exact opposites of each other. Well, there are another two words that are the exact opposite of each other. And to see these, let's read this again. James 4 and 6, but God is giving more grace. You can walk in more grace. Wherefore he saith, God is resisting the proud, but giving grace unto the humble. Now, we would all readily agree that this word proud and humble are polar opposites of each other. But notice there are other words that are here too that are polar opposites of each other. God is resisting, underline that word, resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, you can underline that one too, unto the humble. So just as pride and humility are the exact opposites of each other, so are grace and resistance. To walk in grace, it means there's little to no resistance. To encounter resistance is to be walking in very little grace. God is resisting the proud, but giving grace unto the humble. They're exact opposites of each other. Now, this word resisteth means to set oneself against. It means to throw oneself wholly upon, to stop or slow down. God is resisting the proud. Now, friend, it's one thing for someone or something to be resisting you. It's a whole nother thing for God to set himself against you and say, I'm going to either slow you down or stop you. And how many of you know, chances are more than likely you're going to be stopped completely. God resisteth the proud. Resistance. Now, come on up here, Earl. This is third service, so we can have fun. This is our fun service. So I gave a mental image of this in second service, but now I'm going to give you a visual image of it where you can see it. Okay, Earl is wanting to walk by the podium. So act like you're going to walk around it. All right? He's going to walk around the podium. Okay, stop right there. Now, come back a little bit. Now, if he's encountering resistance, that means that there's something trying to slow him down or stop him from what he's wanting to do. And so at first, there may be a little resistance. But as pride grows and as pride develops, the greater the resistance becomes. And as humility is grown in and as humility is developed, the lesser the resistance comes. So if I say, Earl, he's wanting to walk across this podium, but I'm going to resist him, that means I'm setting myself against him to stop or slow him down. Now try to walk this way. If I'm resisting him, now Earl's a pretty strong guy. In fact, even when I put my hand on his chest, I can tell very quickly, this is not a fella I want to be resisting too strongly against. I'm probably going to need some help. And so he's going to encounter more resistance. So Dean, come on up here. Tommy, come on up here. David, come on up here. Both Davids, you come up here. Come on, Dave. Okay, we're going to resist Earl. Okay, Earl, walk across the podium. You can see, now Earl could push and he could push and he could push. But this resistance is not only stopping him from doing what he wants to do, but if you notice, all of us pushing, resisting him is actually pushing him back. Now, as he's walking in grace, then the resistance starts falling off until there's no resistance at all. In fact, you guys can be seated, not you. But in fact, Robert, in fact, grace comes in, and not only is it meaning that there's not resistance, but grace is the polar opposite of resistance. It means it's going to remove any obstacle that's in his path wholly. That means he's able to walk and make progress without anything trying to hold him back. In fact, he's got people and God removing things from his life that would keep him from walking in God's best. In fact, it's pushing him and helping propel him into the will of God instead of resisting him. Okay, you can be seated now. Now, friends, listen to me when I say this. People are walking in resistance way more than they know. I didn't realize this until years and years ago. I'm getting into probably what I'd share next week, and so I'll probably talk about some of this next week. But when I was very, very young in ministry, I'd only been pastoring, I think at that time, for about 2 months. I went over into a Brother Hagin meeting in Lakeland, Florida. And it's at Reggie Scarborough's church. And I was sitting there on the front row, probably about where Nikki's sitting. And I was with my mom. And we were there, and Brother Hagin was preaching. And while he was preaching, he came up and started operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And we're giving prophecies to people. And when he came up to me, and this is actually the last prophecy I ever got from Brother Hagin, he dealt with me about the subject of pride. And he was warning me very strongly not to get over into it. Well, when I'm sitting there, in my mind, it's not making sense. Because in my mind, if there's anything that I'm not in, it's pride. You know, because, and there are elements of this, we'll probably talk about this, pride thinks highly of itself. And at that time, I was thinking anything but highly of myself. I'm nervous when I get up to preach. I'm nervous about what direction I'm going to take the church in. I mean, I am just on eggshells constantly. That's the last thing I'm thinking about is, hey, I'm Pastor Joel. Guess who just walked in? Come on, people. Yeah, I'm not thinking about that at all. I mean, I'm grateful for any measure of support I am getting. If someone says amen, I mean, I'm going over to that side and I'm talking, and and so while he's giving me this word, I'm thinking, what in the world? But in my heart, it's like, this is something you need to be listening to. And friends, I didn't realize it then, but I was in pride. I was in pride. And we'll talk about this later, especially next week, is there's a subtle part of pride. It's very subtle. That is different from the other facets of pride. You know, pride and humility are just like love. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you see love defined, and there are many facets of it. You can be strong in one area of love, but weak in another area. You could be very kind, but at the same time not long-suffering. You're kind, but if they keep pushing you, buddy, you have to work on that area. So there are different facets of love, and it's just that way with pride and humility. There are different facets of it, different levels of it, different degrees. And at that moment, I was in a different degree of pride than what my mind thought humility was. This is why it's important, that phrase, and we can look at it here in James chapter 4 and look at verse 10. Humble yourself in the what? Sight of the Lord. Now, when I read that, that tells me that how I see humility and how he sees humility may be two different things. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. So there's a way God sees humility. And there may be a way you and I see humility. But God is looking for us to humble ourselves in his sight. And in my sight, I was very humble. I'm not thinking highly of myself. I mean, I'm thinking very lowly of myself. I have a low regard concerning me. So in my mind, it's I need to come up in that area in the sense of I need to believe in myself more. Pride is not something I'm walking in or anything close to walking in. But I was only seeing one facet of it. In my eyes, it wasn't an issue. But it's not a question, this humility issue, it's not a question of how you see it. It's a question of how God sees it. And friends, I tell you what, I went the next almost 2 years of my life walking in pride, not even noticing it. And how do you know and how do I know I was? Resistance. I mean, I could go to every church seminar in the world and go and learn from what the fastest growing churches in America are doing. Come back and take all of those strategies and work them to a T. I mean, dot every I, cross every T, do everything in my strength I knew to do. And it would work for all of those churches, but I'd come back and try it here and it would fall flat on its face. The more I worked at it, the harder it got. And it was like everything that I was doing was not just progressing. In fact, it was almost backtracking. And I was trying to push and push and make headway, but I was only falling back. Attendance was falling off. Tithes and offerings were falling off. And I'm doing everything I know to do to get us out of this hole. And nothing's working. Why? Resistance. And then all of a sudden, something changed. And I say this, and the more I even talk on it, the more I see what happened. And we'll talk about this more next week. But you remember I told that story of how in the peak of it all, I made a list of ministers I could give the church to. I mean, I made a list of ministers. They could take it, they could take it, they could take it. I mean, I felt like a failure. And so I make out this list. I go in my bathroom. I get on my knees, tears coming down my cheek because I just feel like everything my father worked for, I'm tearing apart. And I prayed on bended knee. Lord, help. I need your help. Because if you don't help me, I'm not gonna make it through this. And I kid you not. Now this is interesting. Like I said, I'm preaching next week's message, but anyway, doesn't matter. You know, he helped me by giving me instruction. And when that instruction came, I started doing it. He started telling me tidbits. I mean, natural things to do. Give something for people to talk about other than who's leaving the church. He told me to remodel the church. Then he told me every year do at least 2 structural changes to create buzz within the church. What do I mean by structural changes? Add things like lights, turn the bookstore into a cafe, remodel the preschool rooms, paint, even if something as simple as create paint color, give the people something to talk about other than anything negative. When we get up to tell about announcements, we acknowledge people who brung people. If we have testimonies, you see the life change testimonies all across the church of what is going on that's good here. All of that came from the Lord. An inner witness in my heart. And friends, this is what's so fascinating about it. We started doing it. And when we did it, slowly but surely that resistance fell off. And now all of a sudden visitor numbers went up and retention rates went up and all of these things changed. And it's not because we're doing more. In fact, we're actually doing less. But what we're doing is clicking. And it's working. And it's not because we're so special. It's because God has told us what to do. And it just so happens that when you do what God wants you to do, it works. What is it? It's grace. It's grace. We're building this building. You can ask our foreman. It's the easiest building they've ever built. It's the easiest one they've ever built. Why? Grace. You can see, with us building a new building, we haven't dropped off in attendance. We haven't been pulling people for tithes and offerings, and we need your... Why? We're under grace. We're grace. It's a type and shadow of grace. Gone to 2 services, then 3 services. It's grace. It's not we're so special. It's grace. Grace removes resistance. It makes things click and flow and work without major effort. And we can walk in more of it. We will walk in more of it. And you can walk in more of it. When I look back over my life and I see, I'll use this word very, very carefully, but it's the exact word, how easy, that once I learned some of the things I'm teaching you, how easy it was for me to see a lot of the desires of my heart be fulfilled. Everything from my wife to our children to getting a new home. Just easy. Because I've learned James 4 and 6, and I'm so thankful that I'm learning it even more. Because it's by His grace. so, we need to learn. I need to learn. You need to learn. That there is more grace to be had. You can walk in more. And if you're facing resistance and it just seems like life is tough and hard and you're doing a whole bunch of stuff but you're not making any progress, you need to know right now that is not God's will. That is not God's will. His will for you is for that resistance to be lifted and grace to kick in. Well, what's the only way to get over into that grace? Humility. What's the way to encounter more resistance? Pride. And so you and I need to learn. We need to master. I'll use that word. We need to master these subjects. If you want grace and you don't want resistance, you need to master pride and you need to master humility. And you need to know what they look like in His sight. Because how He may see it and how you may see it may be two totally different deals. So what does it look like? I encourage you to get second service and first service a CD, either one, because we talked about a measure of pride and humility that we're not going to talk about now. But there are multiple facets of pride and humility. Multiple facets. There's one side of those facets that's very obvious. Pride, you can see it over in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, and it goes and you can see it there, of a person who's walking in pride. It's very haughty. It's esteeming others lightly. It's coming in and judging other people. It's coming in and giving all the credit to itself. Pride will never be impressed with other people. It's impressed with itself. When it gives glory for anything good, pride talks about how hard I work for it, how much I deserve it. You see those types of pride, and that's very obvious. Very obvious. If you see someone talking about their achievements and talking about how much they had and how much they worked for, it'd be very easy for us to identify that is pride. So that's a very outward thing. It's an act of the flesh, or we could say it this way, it's a sin of the flesh. But there's another side of pride that's very different. It's inward versus outward. And this is the side of pride that tripped me up those years ago. And it's tripping so many people up now. It's an attitude of the heart. It's like I told Second Service, sins of the flesh, they're much easier to deal with because they're easier to judge. See, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. And the reason why sins of the flesh are so much easier to judge is because they're much easier to recognize. Not only can you see them, but other people can see them as well. Like stealing, that's a sin of the flesh. You know not to steal, and some other people can see you do it. The store owner can see you steal. The police officer, the judge, the other people in jail. They could all see you steal. That's an act of the flesh. It's a sin. Murder, people can see that. Adultery, people can see that. They see those things, and you do too. And so it's much easier to know, I need to stop doing these things. Because say even you lose your temper, which is an act of the flesh, your wife can see that and help you with it. And come and say, hey, you should have talked more softly there, and you got to watch those things. So a sin of the flesh, they're much easier to judge because they're much more noticeable. It's the sins of the heart that are much more deceitful. And pride is very deceptive. Very, very deceptive. So that's the side of pride I want us to focus on. We may talk about some of those natural things. Maybe just give tips to work on as far as things in the flesh to do to walk in more humility versus pride. But the majority of this, I feel like by God, is going to be more targeted towards this other layer. Well, what is this other layer? We'll read this and we'll close. You'll have to come back next week. James 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Keep reading, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now notice this word, therefore. As they always say, anytime you see the word therefore, what do you do? Find out what it's there for. So why is this word here? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, let's read James 4 and 6 and then verse 7. Fast. Let's put them together. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Now, you could read it this way. Since God is giving more grace, since he's resisting the proud, since he's giving grace unto the humble, submit yourselves. This is the biggest part of pride versus humility. Submission. Submission. And it's an area that people don't want to touch. I mean, if I got up here and said, hey, tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to do a submission seminar. We're going to teach you how to submit. I think if we ran advertisements for it, billboards for it, how many people do you think would come out for that versus prosperity seminar, faith seminar? See, it's one of those subjects people don't want to deal with, but it's huge. Submission. When you're walking in humility, you're submitted to God. When you're walking in pride, you may not want to say it, but really you're resisting him. What do I mean by that? You know he's telling you to do something, but you don't do it. And it could be delay. I'm not going to do that right now, but I'll get to it later. That's resistance. Or it could be complete denial. No, I'm not doing that. And when you fall over into that trap, friends, I'm telling you, maybe it's just by ignorance that you fell into it, but you're going to encounter resistance in life. That's what happened to me. I didn't want to acknowledge it, but I can acknowledge it now and say during those first 2 years, it wasn't me not, well, I'll put it to you this way. It was me not slowing down enough. I'm working so much out of my mind, going so fast in my flesh, that I'm not taking the time to wait on the Lord to see what he wants me to do. And finally, I hit that breaking point. And when I hit that breaking point, I realized exactly what I was doing. I'm going to all these seminars and all these other people to try to find out what to do with my church. And it's not my church. It's his church. So instead of going all out here, let me go to the one who put me here. And finally, when I did that, that's when things broke. It could have happened a lot sooner. But I wouldn't retire from my way and yield over to his. All in the name of doing something good. I didn't think what I was doing was bad. But I look back on it now and say it was nothing but pride. Doing what I thought was best instead of finding out what he knew was best. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience.